Perhaps you have heard or are familiar with the slogan, open for business. On the other hand, with COVID, we probably don't hear that very much anymore. Most places are closed. But I'm not here to talk about being open for business, even though we will do the business of the Lord. I do want to talk about a related theme, and I'm going to call the title of our sermon, Open for Blessing. Open for Blessing. And I want to take as our text a gospel lesson from Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. And it's a familiar passage about the baptism of our Lord. What I find amazing about this is this is the entirety of God's revelation to us. Of all the things that God could have said, right? Books and books. The world could not contain the books that could be written of him, we read in the Gospel of John. But what we have here is a remarkably small amount of information. And so at the outset, what I want us to do as I read this passage, remember here that everything here is really important. None of it is kind of extraneous or just an incidental detail that doesn't really matter. It is all of great import. Every word, every clause, and that's why Jesus said, not one jot or tittle shall be removed until all things be fulfilled. And so I want to look at a couple of different phrases here and make sure that we grab onto them. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this passage and the several other passages we will look at. And we thank you that what this means for believers is that this means blessing. Father, help us to receive this day. To receive it in fullness. To receive it in a way that perhaps we've never received it before. And so open our ears. Even as you opened heaven. And help us to receive your blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. The heaven was open. And the Holy Spirit descended. Those are the two phrases. One of them ends verse 21, and the other one begins or opens verse 22. The heavens were open, and the Holy Spirit descended. I want to make much today about the nexus or the connection, the nearbyness of this idea, the nexus between heaven being open and the Holy Spirit descending. Today I want to explore that nexus, and I want to explore also what this means for the believer. Because what this means for the believer is blessing. Blessing for us. Now it goes without saying that the New Testament intensifies every one of the characteristics of God that we find in the Old Testament. Whether it's his love, his wrath, his justice, his mercy, his holiness. They're all intensified. They're there in the Old Testament, but they're intensified in the New Testament. And in particular, the New Testament intensifies his love and his wrath. Earlier in the gospel lesson from verses 16 and 7, and 17, when John was being asked about this, he said that he was baptizing with water, but one mightier than himself was coming. He was not even worthy to loose Jesus' shoes, and Jesus was going to come and baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And in verse 17 it says, the fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge the floor. He will gather the wheat into his granary or his barn, but the chaff will he burn with unquenchable fire. In those verses you see the ministry of the Holy Spirit given, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit intensifies both God's wrath and his love, seen in that verse. The wrath is intensified because it tells us here that the evildoers are burned up. the love is intensified because God is going to take his own, the wheat, so to speak, and gather them because he loves them and bring them into safety, even to their eternal habitations, as the Bible says. And so we see this intensification here. There is blessing and there is judgment. We make a grave error if we are those among the thousands of those, even in evangelical churches, who somehow believe that the God of the Old Testament is a God of wrath and the God of the New Testament is a God of love. A grave error. Both of them are intensified in the New Testament. And so if you're an unbeliever today, beware and be warned. And I urge you to believe. You know, some of the depictions of God's judgment in the Old Testament are not pretty pictures. And if that is intensified in the New Testament, watch out. Beware, be warned, and believe. But if you are a believer, take comfort. Take comfort. Over and over in the Old Testament, we see God gathering his people, comforting his people. If you're a believer, take comfort. Take comfort in the fact that the heavens are now open, and they're open for blessing. And we gather here together as a body of believers gathering together, and I want us to focus on two areas of blessing that, again, are both intensified in the New Testament. But the first area I want us to focus on is the idea here of God's heart. And then I want us to focus on God's help. And so first, as we look at his heart, what better depiction than what we heard read for us in the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah 43? If we look at that passage there, we see that God has created us, he's formed us, he's redeemed us, he has called us by name. He says this to his people. Again, this is intensified in the New Testament, but even in the Old Testament, he says, "You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. They'll not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel." Let's go on to verse 4 and the following verses. "Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honorable. And I have loved thee, therefore I give men for thee. I'm with thee. I'll bring your seed from the east and from the west. I'll say to the north, I'll go to the south." All this gathering. Verse 7 says, "Even everyone who is called by my name. For I have created him, for I have formed him, I have made him." We've studied this passage before, these seven verses. And we've made a chiasm out of that. Right? The X marks the spot. And if we look at the center of the center of the center of this, it's verse 4, right? There's verses 1, 2, 3, then there's 4 at the center, and then there's 5, 6, 7. Number 4 is the center. And the very center of this verse says this: "Because you are precious in my sight and honored." The very center of this verse says, "I love you." And the Old King James just says, "I have loved you." This is the ESV. And this is a more accurate translation. And what God is saying is, "I love you." Now listen very carefully here. This is not in the past tense like the King James has it, that says, "I have loved you," right? And you don't send me flowers anymore, so it's over with. It's not a past tense. It's a present tense. And it's not a future tense. It's not, "I will love you when you get your act together." This is the Old Testament. Not a past tense that "I used to love you," not one that "I will if you get your act together," but "I love you." That's the heart of God being revealed to us, even in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it's intensified. That's God's heart. And perhaps we're more familiar with a verse like John 3:16, right? "God so loved the world and gave his only begotten Son." God so loved the world. He's reached out. But if we look at verse 17 in John 3, again, we see this idea that judgment is the default position. the default position for all of humanity, the believers are loved by God, but the default position for those who do not believe is judgment. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. If you're a believer, go to Jesus. Don't run away from him. If you're an unbeliever, go to him. God's purpose in sending Jesus was not to condemn the world, but to save the world. That judgment position is really clear in the Gospel of John. If we look at verses 18 and following in John chapter 3, it says he that believes on him is not condemned, right? But he that believeth not is condemned already. God doesn't have to condemn you. You're already condemned. This is the intensification of the wrath of God in the New Testament. Even made more fully intense when you come to the book of Revelation and you read about the lake of fire. And the devil and his angels being cast into hell. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. God's heart is towards blessing his people. And surely his heart is expressed in opening heaven and sending his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His heart is expressed in sending his Son. But God's heart is also expressed because he opens his heaven and he sends forth his help. He sends forth his help in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper. And again, you can scarcely find a reference in the Bible where you see a depiction about the heaven being open with the Holy Spirit not being nearby, with the Holy Spirit not being in the picture. And so we're going to again explore this nexus here, this connection, this nearness. You can scarcely see heaven open without the Holy Spirit being nearby. Of course, we saw this in the baptism of Jesus. The heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended. Each of the synoptic gospels tell us this very same story. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, Jesus, when he was baptized, he went straightway. That's, if you're from Canada, you know that means immediately. Up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. There is the next. Heaven open, Spirit comes. Because God's heart is toward his believer, and he's sending help in the form of the Holy Spirit. But I want us to look also at Mark chapter 1 and verse 10, and this is what it says. Straightaway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Same idea, same nexus, but wait a minute. There's a different Greek word here, and I want to point that out in the Gospel of Mark. If we look at the ESV, it says, he came up out of the water, and immediately the heavens being torn open. And the Spirit descending. Torn open. Another translation says the heavens are ripped open. Now those of you who have little children, it's Christmas morning, and there's a present there. There's a box there, and it's all wrapped, and it's got really nice wrapping paper. Maybe it has a bow on it, right? Okay? And so, I mean, what's a five-year-old going to do there? Is he going to maybe ask for a pair of scissors or a knife and cut the tape, and then just very gently make sure you take that wrapping paper off and fold it nice, and you know, maybe you can use it again? Is that what a little kid is going to do? No, no, no is the right answer. He's going to do as Mark describes this passage, that God's heart is for you and his help is for you in the person of the Holy Spirit, and God himself rips this open. He rips it open. That's the New Testament intensity of God's love. He rips it open. This intensity is very sporadic. It's not pervasive in the Old Testament. It's present there, again, because God's love is there. God's heart is there. God's help is there. But it's sporadic. It's here and there. Not as pervasive as we find in the New Testament. I'll show you an example of that. Ezekiel chapter 1. Now, this is the beginning of a whole vision here of the Holy Spirit giving this great vision. The Holy Spirit is a helper, giving this great vision to Ezekiel so he can pass it on to the Israelites and bless them. But it begins this way. It says that the heavens were open, and I saw the visions of God. And I don't want to read to you all of these visions here, but the Spirit is really nearby, and the Spirit is in every one of these visions here in Ezekiel. And so again, there's this nexus. The heavens open and the Spirit comes. Bringing visions. Bringing visions of judgment, but also bringing visions of blessings. I want us to see Ezekiel's reaction to this. Look at chapter 3 and verse 12. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me the voice of great rushing, saying, "Blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place." The Spirit comes upon him. And then we read that Ezekiel himself is called to be a blessing to the people of Israel. This is a bit of a sidebar, but I want to take that time to look at it. Let's take a look at verses 14 and then 15. So the Spirit lifted me up. See, the Spirit is nearby because the heavens were open and the Spirit descends. The Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness. He's a human being. He's like me and he's like you. He doesn't want to go. He says this. He says, I went in bitterness and in the heat of my spirit, his human spirit. But then it says that the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. And then in verse 15, we see that he is used. He is used, even though he himself, in the heat of his own spirit, and in that spirit of bitterness that he had, because the hand of the Spirit of God was so strong upon him, he ends up doing what God has for him to do. He's used, even in the spirit of bitterness. And it says, I came to them of the captivity. They were dwelling by the river. And then it says this. This is just the most wonderful verse. I sat where they sat. And he said, I remained there astonished. Another translation said, I remained there overwhelmed for 7 days. Ezekiel here is like one of Job's friends. There's great grace here. The heavens open, the Spirit comes upon us, and we become people who can minister to others. We don't even have to say a word to them. As a matter of fact, if you remember the story of Job and his three friends, Job's friends sat there on the ash heap with him, silently, astonished, overwhelmed, just like he was. They didn't say a word, and that was the best of their ministry. As soon as they started opening their mouth, they were wrong, and they end up being condemned at the end of the book. Ezekiel's doing the same thing. I sat where they sat. And this is grace. And so I ask you, have you ever been used to just sit with someone? Just sit with someone who's suffering? Not necessarily needing to do anything, not necessarily needing, and preferably sometimes not even to say anything. In Ezekiel's case, the heavens opened, the Spirit came down, his own spirit was fighting against this with everything that he had within himself in his sinful flesh. But I sat where they sat. What great grace. In the Old Testament, this intensity is sporadic. It's rare. But open for blessing means that we become blessings for sure, but it also means that at the baptism of Jesus, it marks a new beginning of God using Jesus, using the Holy Spirit to bless us. This tearing open of heaven is even more fully realized and depicted throughout the New Testament era. Remember the curtain in the temple? The curtain in the temple being torn, symbolizing the fact that the way to the holiest place was now open. The way to God is open. You know, there was the courtyard in the tabernacle and in the temple, and people could come and go as they pleased, all sorts of activities there. And then there was the holy place, and that had a little bit more of people and their involvement there and the things. But the holiest place, no one could ever go in except for the high priest, one day a year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, because God was there. And the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, symbolizing that the way is open. In Matthew 27, behold, this is at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were ripped apart themselves. The way is open. The baptism of Jesus shows us the beginning of that story. The heavens were open. The Spirit comes. The Spirit descends. It shows us God's heart. It gives us God's help. And it shows us that access to Him is open. This is fulfilled in the life of Jesus, particularly at the cross. Anybody remember the old Don Francisco tape? He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. That was his summary of resurrection day. When that curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The heavens being open is no small detail in the baptism of no minor incident. Oh, by the way, the heavens were open. The Holy Spirit, you know, flew about. The gates are open wide. How does the writer of Hebrews understand it? In Hebrews in chapter 9, in verse 8, it says, the Holy Ghost was signifying that the way to the holiest was not yet. In Old Testament times, while that Old Testament sacrificial system was there, the way to God was not made open. Unavailable to us. Later on in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19, he says, wherefore, brethren, having boldness to now enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. What a privileged position we believers have. We have access, boldness to enter by a new and living way, which he has consecrated us through the veil. That is, you're spiritualizing that idea of that temple being torn in two when Jesus' body was ripped apart for you and I. We have access. When Jesus' body was ripped apart, having a high priest over the house of God, and so let us draw near with true, our hearts of full assurance, God is good. It's said a different way in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, and verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Access. You know, it's not just a little bumper sticker that where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Access through his ripped body, symbolized by the ripped curtain, symbolizing the heavens are open. Expressing God's love. With the Holy Spirit descending so that we are helped along the way. The way is open. The Holy Spirit has come. Of course. course the Holy Spirit has come to judge, right? Because there is not this dichotomy between Old Testament and New Testament. It's just intensified. The Holy Spirit has come, yes, to judge, but also to bless. And as a body of believers here, I want to ask you this question. Have you ever asked God to bless you? And do you do that on a regular basis? I have a throwback verse to give to you next. If you've been around for many, many years, perhaps you remember the craze, the mantra, so to speak, from Jabez. Jabez was a nobody. Jabez was a nobody, and Jabez is someone who lives in the Old Testament, where again, these things are not intensified. The blessings are not intensified. But this is what Jabez prayed. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." Yes, to be blessed. And enlarge my my border, my territory, my jurisdiction, my ability to have dominion in this world. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And then it says this, God granted him that which he requested. And he's a nobody in the Old Testament. How much more will the God of the New Testament, who intensifies blessing, whose love is intensified, whose help is intensified, and who refers to his children as the beloved. And what the word beloved means is that you are loved with the very same love that Jesus had for his son. Heaven is open to give us the Holy Spirit. And listen to this. Heaven is open to give us the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit descends, and then the Spirit is then given to us to assure us that the heavens are open. It works both ways. The heavens are open so that the Spirit comes, and the Spirit dwells within to assure us that the heavens are open. How do I know that? The testimony of Stephen from the book of Acts. He, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open." The baptism of Jesus. The heavens open, the Spirit descends. Because the heavens were open, we receive the Spirit. At the death of Jesus Christ, the heavens open, the Spirit comes down, the temple is torn in two. We get all that. We have access to God. The point is this, is that when the heavens open, the Spirit comes down. And when the Spirit comes down and we are filled with the Spirit, we know that the heavens are open. We have the same experience that Stephen had. For Christians, heaven is always open. This was predicted in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 60. "Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night." This is a prediction. This is a prophecy about what's going to happen. And you know what? We live in the fulfillment of this prophecy. Isaiah said the gates shall be open continually. The fulfillment is found in the book of Revelation. Revelation 21, we have that passage there. "And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day." And oh, by the way, the only reason they closed the gates is because the bad guys came out at night. But in that day, there is no night. The gates are never closed. The gates are always open. That's the Zion, the New Jerusalem, that has come down out of heaven and is coming down out of heaven and is being the holy city. It's where we live. You are come, the writer of Hebrews says. Not you will come, you are come to the holy city, the heavenly Jerusalem, where the gates are open. heaven is open. It's open for blessing. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Because of Jesus, very last scripture here, we now live what Ezekiel promised. Ezekiel 34 and 26. There shall be showers of blessing. We live that. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for these details that we see in the baptism of Jesus. Lord, help us not to be those who overlook the fact that the heavens were open and the Spirit descended. Father God in heaven, help us to be warned and to beware and to be believers. Because the Holy Spirit coming, the Holy Spirit descending means that your wrath is intensified. But, O Lord God, we praise you and thank you that the Holy Spirit descending means for us that the wheat, the good grain, the believers are gathered even into those mansions that you have prepared for us. Father, help us to ask and help us to receive these showers of blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name.